And you also want to turn to Exodus chapter 28. Exodus 28. Well, the world's greatest yard sale. Y'all knew it went on this week, right? The world's greatest, longest yard sale. It's the biggest one I've ever seen. I mean, I'm not involved in it, but I'm close. I mean, I'm a stone's throw from where we live on that highway. And matter of fact, Kathy had a yard sale. I misadvertised because I got her some signs and it said garage sale. And we don't even have a garage. We got a barn and a tractor shed. So anyway, people come from all around. Many different states. I didn't count them all, but there's people from everywhere. And I'm telling you, you saw it's big, wasn't it? That intersection, Highway 68 and Tabor Road or 176, it was backed up the hill there and back this way at least a half a mile. And I had to come through there twice and there no red light. And so anyway, so, you know, Blake and his wife and Benjamin had a yard sale over at his house, which is like on a loop. And ours is, too, where people could just loop around. And so Kathy, she did okay, but she did the best she could. But by the time she pays her tithes and taxes, she's going to be in the hole. You are going to tithe them now, you know? I'll tell you what, I'll pay the tithe on that. I already have, to be honest with you. No, but it was fun seeing the people, wasn't it? We saw all kind of people and talked to them, carried on. And somebody wanted to buy my car and my tractor, my boat. And if they had seen the tractor, they probably wouldn't have bought it. But I'm so glad Kathy didn't sell my car. I wasn't there when it happened, or my boat, or my tractor, even though there's no wheels on the boat, and you need to see my boat. You'd have to have faith to get out in the water with my boat. But anyway, I remember W.A. Gerald's years ago, me and him and Jerry worked together, and so his wife, what is her name? I forgot her name. Sheila. Sheila, while we was at work, had a yard sale. She sold him out. He had a big reel-to-reel something tape recorder thing. She sold that. I don't know what all she sold, but old W.A. Guess if he'd give her a little more money, she wouldn't have to be selling everything. Let's don't get into that now. I didn't mean nothing by that at all. Let's get into the Bible. Hebrews chapter 4. I want you to read this in verse 14 through 16. Help us for a little while, Lord. I pray that there'll be attention here. And Lord, I just pray your word to go out with great power. And Lord, here and there, wherever somebody's standing with the incorruptible, the inerrant, infallible, inspired word of God, Lord, that this power will go out not from man, but from you through your spirit and through the lips of your preachers. Save the lost, heal, help, encourage those that are trying to do right, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews 4:14. Just before I read this, when I was just a kid sitting here many, many years ago and being cottage prayer meetings around in this community, we used to have those cottage prayer meetings. And old Jones Chapel Church was started at a Brush Harbor. And then we had cottage prayer meetings, and I remember Robert Patterson preaching, and I remember we was the Hulsey's, Melvin Hulsey's house, and so Robert was preaching. Man, he was preaching. Robert was some kind of preacher. I went to his house several times, and into the hospital several times when he was in the hospital, and we talked and about things about being a pastor and all, and so powerful man. But one of the phrases they used was "Give me your undivided attention." We talked about that. Remember, your undivided attention. You say, what in the world does that mean? Well, I've got a good example. And I'm not calling nobody's name that sometimes I don't think I've got their undivided attention. But I've got a habit of doing this if I'm talking to somebody, and I don't mean to be rude. But if I'm talking, we're talking, and I have something to ask or talk or say in there, I'll say, excuse me, or they'll say, oh, go ahead, I'm listening. I just walk off and leave. You think, and so I'm listening in this ear to you and this ear to this, and that ain't got it, man. That ain't got it. So where we come into the house of God, it sure is good to use them old phrases. If everybody cooperate, please give us your undivided attention. Amen. Just for a little while, okay? All right, we're reading in 4 verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points like as we are, one difference, yet without sin. Now, let us therefore come boldly. You know how I'm challenged with that a lot of times, coming boldly. Just it's like, come into the presence of God. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. That's heaven. That's God's throne, that we may obtain mercy. Mercy, not getting what we deserve, and find grace, which is getting what we don't deserve, to help in time of need. Wonderful. We have a great high priest in the heavens representing us to God. And he's one of us as being a man, and he's God being with the Heavenly Father. Talking about the priestly connection. There's no priest on earth. Our priest is in heaven. There's no priest here. There's no priest there. Regardless, there's no apostles, there's no prophets, and there's no priest on the face of this earth. There's some that say they are, but they're not. We have one representative, and that's Jesus Christ, Son of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, as we've been looking in Exodus, you say, how long you gonna be in Exodus? Well, take that. I'll let you know when God lets me know. And I just hope you stay with me. But the dress, the actual uniforms, what I'm calling it, of the great high priest, which the first one was who? Aaron. Is significant to describe Jesus to us. What he was wearing describes what Jesus means to us. It's typology. It's a typology. You can only go so far with a type. You can't stress it. It has to be natural. It has to be something that's real obvious. And so we're looking at the real obvious things about how Jesus is represented to us through the dress of the great high priest. And let me say, those priests had a hard job. They had to keep a fire going all the time. And there was blood everywhere. All the time. And there was death everywhere. All the time. And there was sacrifices made all the time. And those, I mean, day after day. Can you imagine? I was in Romania at a butcher shop. And it was a big building. I mean, you're talking about fresh meat. I mean, that whole building. And it was cold. It was snow on the ground, deep, about 3 foot deep. But it was cold in the building. And we're walking through there. And there's animals, there's hogs and pigs and whatever, and cattle all through there hanging. And I'm walking through there. And you know, I really lost my appetite. I mean, you know, I'm a farm boy. I was a country boy. But I'm thinking, you know, I'm glad I hadn't ate yet. And so anyway, get that picture. Death everywhere. You know, with Jesus, life everywhere. He's done took care of the death. He's already took care of all that. But let's just look at this. Last week, we looked at the first thing about the great high priest, his wardrobe. He had a shoulder piece here. He on the ephod, which is a type of a coat without any sleeves in it, but on the top, on each shoulder, was something that they're calling. Let me see. Let me catch up on my thoughts here. I hear myself. I didn't mean to shout. Verse 7, it shall have the two shoulder pieces thereon joined at the top edges thereof, and so it shall be joined together. And the cuirass girdle of the ephod which is upon it shall be of the same according to the work thereof, even of gold, blue, purple, scarlet. Gold, deity, blue, heaven, purple, royalty, scarlet, blood. Without the blood, you don't get any benefits from the other three. And fine twined linen. And thou shalt take two onyx stones and grave on them the names of the children of Israel, six of their names on one stone, and the other six names on the rest of the other stone according to their birth, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet. Shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel, and thou shalt make them to be set in the ouches or ouches of gold, and thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of a memorial unto the children of Israel, and Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. Now, listen. Israel's names were on those two stones. Our names is with Jesus. I want you to understand, it says for a memorial, a reminder. They wrote that down. And I want you to also understand that when the priest went in, he might have not had his heart in it. I don't even know really if he even knew what he was doing. I don't know, making atonement. I don't know. There was no Holy Ghost in him. The Holy Spirit did not dwell in that priest. The Holy Spirit did not come to dwell in mankind, in human beings that were saved until the New Testament. The Holy Spirit came to dwell and never leave us. But there's probably days that he didn't really feel like going, you know, all doing all that stuff. But I want you to understand, for a memorial, those stones were there and they represented us in Israel to God on his shoulders. There's the strength. Our names are represented with Jesus Christ, our persons, on his strength. It's not in our strength that we confide. If so, we would be loosing. The flesh is, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We've got to depend on God for our strength. I'm having to do that right now. Right now, you may not believe that. I'm not up here to put on a show. I'm trying to preach the Word of God. And I want you to understand, I'm not in my own strength. Say what you may. My heart's in it. My heart's in it. But I'm not in my own strength. So there's the shoulder pieces. But what about the breastplate? The breastplate. That's the second thing. And thou shalt make, verse 15, the breastplate of judgment. With cunning work, after the work of an ephod, thou shalt make it of gold, a blue, purple, scarlet, and a fine twined linen shalt thou make. Four square it shall be, being doubled, a span. A span is about 8 3/4 inches. So it's four square. So it's 8 inches across, 8 inches down. And it's the breastplate. Now let's just take a look at this just for a moment. Let's take another reading here. And thou shalt set in it settings of stones even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardis. And it goes on down through without reading everything. The second row, verse 18. The third row, verse 20. The fourth row, there's three rows. There's four rows of three stones. And you know what? They got the names of the children of Israel in every stone. So we're on his shoulders. Let's just keep reading. I'm not going to get ahead of myself. Verse 21, and the stone shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to the names, like the engravings of a signet. Every one with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes. Now, I want you to just try to keep up with this. Verse 22, and thou shalt make upon the breastplate chains at the ends of wreathen work of pure gold. That's deity. Wreathen with those gold chains thou shalt make upon the breastplate two rings of gold, and shalt put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate, and thou shalt put the two wreathen chains of gold in the two rings, where it's the ends at the ends of the breastplate, and the other two ends of two wreathen chains thou shalt fasten in two onches, and shalt put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. Now listen, you got that shoulder piece with the names, and you got the breastplate, and you got it connected. The shoulder with the breastplate. It's connected. Matter of fact, if you keep reading in here and you read this on your own, but that breastplate is bound to that priest. And there's a priestly connection between the shoulder and the breastplate. That's very, very important. Because with the breastplate, with the shoulder, the names and the strength of the shoulder, the breastplate, the names, let me just keep reading. I'm going to hold off on getting ahead of myself. Now let's look in verse 28. And thou shalt bind the breastplate by the rings thereof unto the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it may be above the cuirass girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate be not loosed from the ephod. It's bound. It's bound. Those names are bound in that breastplate. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon what? Not his shoulders, but his heart. And I want you to understand, we ought to praise God that we're bound to his strength and we're bound to his heart. Hallelujah. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. When Jesus is in the presence of God, we're represented with his strength and represented with his heart. Now, it's one thing. There used to be a man named Bill Appler. He was at the nursing home when Grandma Butler was there. Dalrymple. His name was Dalrymple. Okay? Dalrymple. You won't forget this. The young new nurses were afraid of him. He wanted eggs. That's all he ate. Three meals a day. Want my eggs? He'd make a hard time. There's a little nurse standing there to take his eggs in, and she was afraid. And the old salty nurse come up and said, "What's wrong, honey?" She said, "I'm afraid." She said, "Give me them eggs." She kicked that door open, throwed them eggs down, said, "There's your eggs, Dalrymple." And walked down. She had strength. I believe I've lost compassion with him too, but Jesus has not only got the strength, but he's got the compassion with it. And he's got the love with it. We're on his heart. That's what it says. That's what it says. It says, look, in the breastplate of judgment, verse 29, upon his heart. And you know, I just studied this and thinking about this. If something is on your heart, that has a connection with love, or it wouldn't be on your heart. Is that right? Really? Is something that challenges you, hate can be on your heart. You know, God God hates a lot of things. There's seven things in Proverbs it says He hates. And you can read that later, but there's seven things that God says He hates. He don't say He hates the person, but He hates the hate. He hates what people are, whatever they're hating for. But love on our hearts. You know, I'm sometimes not good at expressing my love, but I want you to understand Jesus can and will if you'll let Him. If you'll let Him bear your burden on His shoulders, and you'll let Him, we'll just realize that we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. It's so good that we can let Jesus take the load. Don't seem fair to God. I'm going to think it. Just don't seem fair to God. But it don't seem fair to Him if you don't let Him, because He does not lose His strength. His strength is not challenged. If every burdened person in the face of this earth, like 8 billion people, shared their burdens with God right now, He would be able to carry them and it wouldn't even cause Him to bow over. He wants that. But He also wants your love, because He loves. We love Him because He first loved us. I don't have a hard time, here's the thing, coming up with something to preach. I have a hard time deciding what to preach. And I'm going to be real careful, because, you know, the Lord just gave me this stuff. I'm going to be real careful right here this morning to try to obey the Lord. There's the mystery of love. You can read in 1 Timothy 3:16 about the mystery of love. The mystery of, we can't understand how God would send His Son. It's a mystery. We can't relate to that. But He did. The mystery of love. There's the manifestation of His love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish and have everlasting life. The manifestation of His love. There's the measure of His love. We're just going to look at that one quickly. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I want you to understand that Jesus breastplate, that breastplate on that priest was bound to him. And my friends, you see, listen, and those names were there. That's significant and applicable to you and I with our high priest with Jesus. Do you see these ladies that have their babies and, you know, the Indians carried them on their backs, but now we're seeing people walking around their babies and they're on their bosom. I think that baby is more happy on the bosom of its mama than on her back. It'll get on her back sooner or later, and her feet too. But there in that bosom, that's where we are with Jesus. Don't you understand? We don't have to worry about the strength. He's the strength. All we need to realize is His love. And we're right there. Remember, old boy got saved coming to my study years ago. He said, God felt like I was just drawn in here, right out of the blue. And he's laying on the couch one day, on that couch down there, Brother Roach said, he come into my study and he saw that couch. He said, I bet you took a few naps there. Meditate, holy meditation. So he's laying there and he said, what does bosom mean? And I said, okay. I said, put your arms out like that. And he did. I said, now do it like that. I said, there's your bosom. And we're in the bosom of Jesus. We're there. We're there. That don't mean we might feel bad someday. That don't mean we might doubt someday. That, you know, we might even doubt the love of God. But it don't matter what we do or say. That woman is toting that baby. It don't matter what that baby thinks, cries, whatever. That baby's in the bosom. And we're in the bosom of Jesus. And that ought to give us great consolation to know in whatever state of mind or area of life that we're in, that we are represented by Jesus at the throne of God. He knows our name. He knows our name. Now it says, look at this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Oh, you ever had a tribulation? Or distress? Or persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? There's people right now, I'm telling you. Me and Kathy had a long day yesterday, and so our car, we're in my little car, the other car is in the shop, so is my truck. So we're riding together. But anyway, I had to stop at Walmart to pick up something for lunch today, some of the ingredients, and I was up there and I bought some grapes. Them black grapes are good. They're the best. They're $2 a pound. I bought 2.18 pounds of grapes. And ate most of them. Kathy, I give Kathy two or three. But then I realize I get these Tennessee Pride biscuits. Some of y'all know about them biscuits. It's down here in the fridge, in the freezer. You're welcome to them. I mean, they're good. They're two little sausage and biscuits that I get up and cook my breakfast every Saturday, Sunday here. I do it. So what I did, as I grabbed them biscuits, I need another supply of them, some at the house, some here, because I'm taking the heat off of Kathy. She makes the best biscuits. There's a lady working there, and what I did was I picked up, they weren't biscuits, they was rolls or something. I picked up the wrong box. Had to go on, and got Kathy, started backing over here, go on. I said, Kathy, you want to go to a nudist colony? And she said, no. I said, well, come into Walmart with me. She said, I ain't coming in there. But I got out, she said, yeah, I reckon I will. I've got to buy something. You get a woman close to Walmart, you can't keep her out of it. So, nudist colony. I don't know what it is. When that maniac of Gadara got saved, he put on some clothes. He got some clothes on. I hope and pray. I can't do nothing in the world about the world. I cannot. I cannot do nothing in the world. And I'm going to tell you something. I can't do nothing about you. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I hope that nobody in Welcome Baptist Church is showing too much skin. I hope that you're dressed modest, man and woman. I talked to a man in Gadsden last night, and his neighbor down the road is one of them guys on an alternative lifestyle. He's funny as a $3 bill, and he come out walking around in his underwear, and that fella lives next to him, he's got kids, and he grabbed his pistol, walked up to him, stuck it right in his face. He said, you don't ever come back out here with your underwear on, or I'll blow your brains out. He said, I got kids out here. Hey, keep some clothes on, you might keep you from getting your brains blown out. Our pearl, our sword. That sounds like a lot of threatening situations, and we can get in those kinds of situations. And when we do, we can realize that nothing's going to separate us from His bosom and His love. Nothing at all. It may come down to it. I talked to Levi yesterday, and I said, son, I've always told you, and I told my children, there may be a time when you have to stand alone. But you're never alone because God's with you. But you may have to stand alone. And there it is. What about Paul? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Loved us, for I'm persuaded. Look at this. That neither death or life. That's everything, ain't it? That's from the time you're born until the time you die. Before you receive eternal life, neither death, nor life, nor angels. What? What do you mean angels? What do you mean angels? I mean angels. Demon angels. Demons that will work on your mind and cause you. Do you know the average, you know what the average count of thoughts that come into your mind that you have to process every day is 35,000 according to the studies. 35,000 different thoughts come into the average person's mind every day. 35,000 every day. I know a man. I know two men. I know one particular. He's about 80. He's getting close to 80, but he's still in physically pretty good health. He has to take some medicine every night to get his mind to slow down where he can go to sleep. Not to put him to sleep, but to get his mind off of things he thinks he's got to do and where he's got to be. You know, that's nothing more, friend, than demons trying to destroy somebody. That's all it is. It says angels. Angels. You got them two angels. You said, how much are they worth? Them two angel things. We're selling them. She's got them. She's got them to, they were given to her, and she's going to sell them. I don't want no angels around my house except for the good ones. You put your little angel in the window thinking that angel's going to take care of you. Put a little angel on your mirror, on your car. Are you crazy? All you're doing is inviting demons into your life when you do something like that. I'm sorry, ladies. I know you got them pretty little angels. Some of you do. You need to have a burning. Or sell them. Just sell them somebody and give them the demons. Or principalities. Here it is. Angels nor principalities. Principalities is the word arche, and it means rulers. It means rulers. There's I really appreciate when the Lord lets me slow down a little bit. There's a month worth of preaching right here. And it ain't going to happen today. But in not Liberia, it's an African country. An African country. All right, here's what they do. When they have a wedding, okay, you know, we throw rice. Maybe Libya, I'm not sure. We throw rice. All right, you know, now they started saying, don't throw rice. They say throw bird seed, right? Because the rice will swell up in a bird and kill it. So we throw seeds. What they do there at a wedding is they throw money. I like that kind of, I don't know why. We should have our wedding over in Africa. They throw money. Can you imagine that? And the story I come across is they had their first dance with their wife and everybody else was dancing, and they got this boxes or whatever that people just chunk money at. They call it money throwing or something. So I didn't know they had a lot of money over there in that particular country, but they got some somewhere. They're throwing it in the box. You know what the magistrates and the mayors and whoever's in charge said? No more throwing the money. No more. And one guy even got prosecuted and put in jail for throwing money at a wedding. That's the craziest thing I believe I've ever heard of. And they're praying or hoping that it'll be back to the original time when they can throw money. I believe I just eat. I'll tell you what. Especially the guy that did the wedding ceremony, the preacher. Just go by and slip something in his pocket. You don't have to throw it. But they're living under the oppression. I mean, so stupid. And the thought is, my friends, is listen, rulers can intimidate you. They can cause you problems. Not all elected officials. You know, there's no need me to say nothing else. Have got their best intentions for you. They got their best intentions for themselves. Now, and it also says powers. Government can't separate. So here's the thought. Government cannot separate you from the love of God. Lester Roloff. Anybody ever heard of Lester Roloff? Lester Roloff spent a lot of time in jail for trying to do right. A lot of time in jail for doing right. In jail. And God, he was more power when he was there and come out than he ever had. Nor principalities. Nor powers. You know what this word power just actually means? If you spell D-U-V-A-M-I-S, do u v alpha mu e s e, dunamis. You know where we get, you know what word we get from dunamis? Dynamite. Or powers. Now, in other words, you may feel like you've had a stick of dynamite thrown at you. You know what ain't going to be blown away? The love of Christ. I mean, if life becomes dynamite to you, you're still unseparated from the love of God. Thank God for that. Still there to you. After everything's, the smoke's gone, everything hits the ground, you're still alive, okay? You look around, you say, ain't nothing left. And God says, oh yeah, I'm here. You're in my bosom. That's right. I never will forget. Brother Billy Canoy told the same jokes here every year. Y'all remember that? I remember that C.L. Roach come up to Derek and said, Derek, will you play my favorite song? He said, yeah, I'll try to. What is it? And he said, The Yellow Rose of Texas. That was a good song, I reckon. It's about a man in his yellow rose. Brother Canoy said, the man was milking his cow. You remember? Y'all remember that one? You do, don't you, chick? He said, a man was in his barn, in the hall of the barn, milking his cow. You know, that's the way you do it. And he said, this old smart aleck come by and throwed a stick of dynamite in the hall of the barn. It blowed everything away, and the farmer was left holding the bag. I'm sorry, Lee. I'm sorry. Hey, he also said, this man went to the doctor and said, Doctor, I've been having these dreams. Talking about getting blown away. Been having these dreams. He said, they're about to drive me crazy. He said, Doc, one dream, I think I'm a wigwam. And the next dream, I think I'm an igloo. And the doctor said, well, I know what your problem is. You're just too tense. So they don't get no better. You better laugh, I'll tell some more. There's no need. Ain't it something? We get to heaven, and Jesus says, why in the world did you try to carry the burden? Why in the world you felt like I've left you? You've been right here with me all the time. You ain't never left me. I've got the motive of His love. We got the measure of His love. Let's go, keep going with the measure. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present. Things present? Whatever's happening right now, right? Whatever is happening in your life right now, God's love. We're in His bosom. We're not separated from His love. Amen. And then, nor things to come. I remember Rush Limbaugh said something, and I appreciate Rush Limbaugh. I miss it. He stayed right there by that golden mic there till he is nearly dead. He stayed on the job. But he said, I don't think it's natural for anybody to sit around and thinking, today's the day I might die. Well, you keep on thinking that, and that might be the day you die. It's just not natural. We all know we're going to die if Jesus don't come. But here it is. Here's another thought. It's the things to come. Oh, I'm worried about tomorrow. I'm worried. I mean, what could happen? I mean, it can't be no worse than today, but it might be. And then the things to come, whatever's going to be coming, what's going to happen to America? I mean, we got some good possibilities right now, but we don't know how America's going to last or not. We don't know. Things to come. I believe some people's worried about something because they ain't got nothing to worry about. I mean, that's their life. You know, you got to worry about something. That's the way I keep going. No, it ain't the way you're going to kill yourself. And everybody else is just going to be miserable around you. if you don't realize that you are not separated from the love of Jesus. Amen. It's a measure of His love. Nor, here it is. Nor height. It don't matter how high you are, no depth. I tell you something crazy. There's some of these archaeologists and some of these scientists that are saying, you may have got this in the news, that the Smoky Mountains used to be far higher than the Rocky Mountains. And they do like they're aging. They said, you ain't seen nothing like the Rockies. If you had seen so many millions of years ago, the Smokies, they were higher. And they said, we got bad news for the Rocky Mountain people because theirs is going to sink too. How stupid. It don't matter. It don't matter where you are. It don't matter how high you are. It don't matter if you become an astronaut. I do not recommend that you become an astronaut. Do you know that most astronauts that become astronauts lose their families? A lot of them have. So much training, so much this or that. I'll tell you something else. If I was playing a major league ball, I wouldn't have played in that game yesterday or the other day with a woman umpire. Do you know the first woman umpire umped a National League ball game? Y'all didn't know about that? She was the umpire calling balls and strikes. Now, here's what I'm wondering. Sometimes them baseball players act like hockey players. Sometimes they get in the face of the ump. Sometimes the coach does. And sometimes they have a free-for-all. You know what's going to happen, Derek? I know Derek and I played ball. Here's what's going to happen. It's going to dumb down the players. Unless that's a mighty tough woman behind the plate. They're going to say, now, ma'am, I don't agree with that call. It's going to dumb down baseball. Not dumb, weaken it down, weaken it. Pardon, ladies, is there anybody in here, is there any woman in here that says, my lifelong dream was to be an umpire in the National League? Yeah. That was her life. That was her lifeline, time gone. Height, nor depth, how deep can you go? I just heard about, heard a report on the seas, the oceans. I'm not good on meters. They told how many meters deep some of the ocean. I think there's some that's six in miles. I believe it's around 6 miles deep. There's some depths in the ocean that are actually like 6 miles or more deep. And there's things down there. There's squid that are giants. There's some giant animal life down there. And that's the depth. Somebody said outer space is the last frontier. I don't know. I believe electricity in the ocean is, to be honest. You think about that. It don't matter how far down you go, how you get down there. If you're 6 miles deep in the bottom, and by the way, Jacques Cousteau, you know, he gave up going down in that little submarine because they got so low down there that he could hear screaming. It's voices screaming, it's begging. Okay. And you know that over in Russia, I believe it was, there was that great earthquake under the sea. Hell hath enlarged herself. So there you go, friend. It don't matter how deep you say, I'm just so low. I'm so low, I want to get down there. But if I step down there, I'll preach another 30 minutes. So stay up here, please. It don't matter how low you get. And all of us have highs and lows. I don't care who you are. It's human nature. You'll have a high and you'll have a low. And it's so good to be. Here's Jesus. There it is. That's that meal offering. That fine meal is just even life. I'm sort of like that Scotland. I don't know about you. This is the greatest day of my life on Sunday morning when we come here. This is the greatest time that I've ever had in my lifetime to stand up and do what God's called me to do and be with y'all. I'm going to tell you what it is. Tomorrow morning, I may be 6 miles under the sea.
And it don't matter where I am, Jesus is with me. And I'm represented by Him, by Him, by Him. And let's just finish up here, and then we'll go further with something called, my friends, the priestly connection later on, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. You know what creature is? It's a creature. That simply means any created thing. Creature means anything in creation. The creation. If the, that means anything that's ever been created, and God created all. And that means if the whole world turns against you, He's still with you. Whole world. Anything. He's still with you. Amen. Do you ever feel the presence of God? Realize the presence of God. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. You can ask my wife. Saturday, when I start headed over this way, I've told you this before, but it's just like that I'm in walking through molasses syrup to try to keep stepping. And you know, somewhere on Sunday morning, somewhere, after I listen to the obituaries, and I see they didn't call my name. Somewhere, it might be in the shire. Hey, chick, you got here early today. Can I talk about that? Chick showed up early, 9 o'clock. He said, where is everybody? Phillip's usually here. I said, yeah. Did he come upstairs and stay up there? I don't know, 15 minutes till 10. He said, I got here an hour early. That's okay. We had some good fellowship. Hey, chick, did you hear that bluegrass playing? Oh, yeah. Let's go to church. The Pine Ridge Boys, if I can track them down, they feel like a millionaire going to church. Put my Bible under my arm, put this old hat on. One thing I don't like is that I ain't even got no money for Sunday school. Okay, big deal. Just put it in the tithes and offering. But that other old guy singing a song, you know, me and Jesus got it, everything going. Y'all ever heard that song? And he said, you know, they didn't believe in tithing anyway. Anyway, don't listen to that song. That's just an old one. But the thing about it is, I mean, Andrew said something the other day. I was talking to her on the phone, and what was it? And I referred to a song. She said, Daddy, I thought you was more spiritual than that. Them old songs are in my mind. Some of them was pretty good, though, you know, like you ought to see my captain. She lives away down south. She is so sweet, the honeybees all swarm around her mouth. My girls got down to Pensacola, Florida. Hannah and Katie got down there and they heard that song. They said, my daddy wrote that song. They said, no, he didn't. He said, yes, he did. He sung it to mama all the time. No other creature shall be able to do what? Separate us from what? The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's stand with our heads bowed. I hope that you'll just take a little time to reflect on the presence of God in your life, my friends, and realize the presence, and realize that His shoulders are far stronger than ours will ever be. We'll put our burdens on Him, and we'll let Him be affectionate to us, and we'll be affectionate to Him. We love Him because He first loved us. You know why we don't love Him enough? We've not realized yet how much He loves us. I tell my kids, I tell a lot of people, you'll never know how much you're loved till you have a child of your own. Now, here's the thing. Listen, we need to realize that Jesus loves you a lot more than you love your kids. He does. Father, have your way in every heart. I just pray, oh God, that we'll draw near to you. Lord, with your help, with your strong strength, and with your heart that loves us, in Jesus' name.